On today's show, fellow podcaster Andy from Grappling with Canada podcast. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Sunday Night Army Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Sunday Night Army. Today, I have an awesome episode with a fellow podcaster, Andy from Grappling with Canada Podcast, is joining me on the show today very shortly. But first, find me everywhere on every podcast streaming platform. Just look for the Sunday Night Army. And of course, all social media, go like, follow, and subscribe. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter for all the cool stuff that happens every day. You guys can follow the show that way. And of course, if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, grab the link tree. You'll find the link to the merch store. Pick up a t-shirt. Two logos available. More logos coming soon. Pick up a t-shirt, hoodie, phone case, whatever you want. Support the show that way. Best way to keep this all going and supporting the show. And of course, give me a 5-star rating, if it's deserving, of course, on iTunes or whatever your podcast streaming platform is, and let me know how everything's going. Or, you know, if you put a 1-star down, please tell me why, which we'll get into later in the show today. So let's get to the episode. So right now, joining me all the way from Winnipeg, Manitoba, is a fellow podcaster and a podcast I enjoy because it brings me back. And I'd like to welcome to the Sunday Night Army, Andy from Grappling with Canada podcast. Welcome, man.
Very happy to be here.
Well, I appreciate you joining me on the show today because I don't usually have too many podcasters on the show, but I find your show very intriguing in many ways. For one, it's a long-ass damn episodes. Okay. Holy shit. Like, I can't finish an episode driving to work, and I drive 45 minutes to work each way, which is fantastic because you get into a lot of different concepts. I'm not going to spoil anything yet because I want you to talk about it. But before we get into your show, which is fantastic, I want to know more about you. I want to know how you got started. So, Andy, what got you into podcasting in the first place?
Well, that's kind of a long-winded story, but I'll kind of give you the Cole's Notes version. Mm-hmm. We'll hit the high notes, if you will. But okay. So I used to have a podcast that ran from, I think, 2017 to 2018, somewhere in that time frame anyways. And it was I was really big into Impact Wrestling at that time. So I was doing one of the, you know, cliche weekly review shows. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I interacted with quite a few different people, and then it was, Jesus, I do this shit every week. and then it got to be every other week. And then, you know, my wife and I started our family, and then it was like, oh yeah, I don't have time for this shit anymore. So that one went away. It fell by the wayside and I was good with it. Fast forward now to, 2019, maybe June of 2019, I start to get this idea for the program that I'm doing now, which obviously we'll discuss in a little bit. But I start thinking about this idea, and then I start looking into if anybody was doing anything like this, because with the Impact podcast, there was 50 at the time. There's probably hundreds now. Mm-hmm. It's an oversaturated market. And, you know, as well as I do, if you're trying to beat your head against a market that's, you know, you're up against thousands of different podcasts who may or may not do a better job than you do, that it's, you're kind of an uphill battle. So I looked at what my concept was, and nobody is doing it. And I thought to myself, well, holy shit, this is, I could really make something of this. And then I started, you know, really digging into my idea. And then it was like, okay, how can I not only be different and in a, not a niche market, but an unexplored market, but mm-hmm. really make it something that's immersive and something that people can really get in touch with, not just wrestling fans. The name kind of gives it away, but how do I make a program that appeals to history fans and people who like human interest stories? And that was kind of the genesis of where we got to today.
And the name is really cool. I love it because it just totally makes sense. Grappling with Canada, and your logo is fantastic. And I want to get to the logo later on in the show.
Sure.
Because I want to talk about that. But Grappling with Canada. Now, you have how many episodes out right now?
Well, when is this episode going to release?
Tomorrow.
Okay, so as of now, I have 9 episodes. It'll be 10 on October 1st.
No, fantastic. Now, these episodes are packed with information. So tell me how you get, because these come out not very often. That's why they're so packed with info. Tell me what your idea was behind it and why make them so detailed and informative.
Well, the original idea was to, like you said, have a program that gets really into the nuts and bolts, really dives deep into the concept. So each episode focuses on essentially one person from Canada's wrestling history. And the release schedule is the first of every month. And the reason of that is because, like you said, they are some long ass programs. I think they honestly range anywhere from 2 hours and change to, I think the Stu Hart one was about 4 hours. So because of the sheer length of the episode and legitimately the time and effort and research and everything that goes into it, a one episode a month is, to me, the format is good because it gives a lot of that information time to sink in. I'm not overloading people with, here's a new one, here's a new one, here's a new one. It lets everything sink in. You have that time to, you know, listen to it, to let it settle, to analyze it, to maybe do some research on yourself. And then in a month, you know, the next one's coming down the pipeline.
Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, I drive to work and I'm listening to your episodes. I'm like, yeah, okay. It's like a really long movie. My entire drive is filled with one episode and just facts, information. And you throw in interviews in there. And like, last one I listened to was the Gail Kim episode, because let's be honest here, I'm an old school wrestling fan. My wrestling to me was the late 90s, the early 2000s, very early 2000s. And now I'm off and on, and we'll get into the wrestling in itself in a little bit, but I listened to the Gail Kim episode to what I could start with, because it was so much information. And I'm not a big Gail Kim fan at all. But listening to the show, you learn about these people, you learn about their character, you learn about who they are, and you get tidbits that you throw in, which I gotta give you props, man, because you pull information from different places, other interviews, you provide a lot of different background information, and it builds the episodes really, really well. And it gives you a different perspective. For me, as not a Gail Kim fan at all, it kind of like, okay, now I understand this more. And I stopped to finish that episode. I only went to work and back one day. So there's still lots of time to go. I'm learning as I go. I'm layering this in. So I find that fascinating. And I think your concept's amazing. And what you just said, one episode a month, because they're so big, it gives you time to process. And like I said, I'm learning as I go. About each personality that you profile with all this stuff that you throw in there. So I think that's tremendous.
I really appreciate that. And I'll be honest with you, that was probably one of the most difficult episodes I had to do, or that I've done so far. Not had to do, I didn't have to do it, clearly. But yeah, that one was for various reasons, it was a difficult episode to put together.
Now, it was this scheduling interviews, content, what made it difficult?
I want to be tactful with the way that I present my, so part of it I can't say on this program because I don't want to offend anybody. And that's a conversation, you know, off the record I would gladly have, but, furthermore to that, I really wanted to present the episode as not coming from a guy's perspective. I really tried hard to have the perspective of Gail Kim, a female who really fought against a lot of racial prejudice, who fought against being a strong, opinionated woman, who fought against being typecast as an attractive Asian, in air quotes. These are not clearly my words, but these are words that were bandied about in research on the program. And I really didn't want it to come off like, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about, which I don't, because I'm a white guy from Winnipeg and B, I have never lived these experiences. So I didn't want to come off as, you know, pandering or preachy or whatever. So that part of it especially was a struggle for me.
Well, you did tackle that information early in the episode, in that episode specifically, where you did say that that's the point of view you wanted to get. You wanted a female perspective. And I know you had Jim Cornette in there, quote-wise, talking about Gil Kim, but you did want it to get as much as female perspective in an episode as possible. So that's a point you made. That's understood. And I understand why, of course. So now, with all these episodes, and you kind of hinted on it right now, you mentioned this one was very difficult. Was this the one that was most difficult to make out of all these? Is there any other ones that stand out that were very difficult?
Well, that one was hard, you know, and there were mitigating circumstances that I don't want to get into, because it's going to paint some people in a negative light, and that's not my intention. The earthquake John Tenta episode was hard to do because, and I will throw some people under the bus on that one, because that one really did piss me off, to be quite honest with you. And I apologize in advance, listeners out there.
Oh, I'm okay with it. If we get some language on there,
go ahead and throw your hate tweets to @6_podcast. I can take the heat. But I'm trying to do this goddamn episode, and I have emails out to people. They're, you know, because like you said, I have multiple guests on every episode. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of, logistically speaking, it's a lot of work to line everything up, figure out times to do all this shit, because like I have two young kids.
Yep.
And I have a full-time job. I work 10 hours a day, so it's you know, my time is very limited. So I'm emailing and I'm back and forth and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm on a deadline, because you know, this shit is not that easy to produce.
That's right.
And it got to a point where I just honestly I don't know if I was getting led on or these people had no intention of actually doing the program, but it was, yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Well, for fuck's sakes, in 3 weeks, I'm hearing the same goddamn thing from three different people. So I got to a point where I was like, fuck it. If this is what it's going to be, I'll just do the goddamn thing myself, which is not my intention.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where it's a very me heavy episode, which I don't like to do. But there was so much information and I had it all. I just wanted to get the goddamn perspective of the people who were giving it, but they didn't want to give me the time of the day. So fuck them. I did it myself. And I got a lot of positive reviews on that one, which I was thrilled about, because I was really nervous. Like, are people going to want to listen to me physically talk for, oh God damn. There was another like 3 hour episode. Right. So yeah. That one was like, God damn. Just frustrating.
But that's a good topic, because that's he was a character. He was a prominent figure in the wrestling world that not a lot of people understand how important he was as a character. He was one of my favorite wrestlers, because the things he did. He's known for a couple of negative things that were out of his control, WCW.
Yes.
But he did a lot of positive things. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but I want people to go listen to this episode, because I think it needs to be explored more and it needs to be heard. So it's really interesting story, interesting background, interesting person, as all of your episodes are. Now, let's get to a couple different things right now. Current content of wrestling. Do you follow any of it? What's happening? WWE, Impact, AEW?
I really don't, to be honest with you, because boy, it's not what it used to be.
No kidding.
And not even from like, and I'm a big Attitude Era guy like yourself, right? So that that's my bread and butter. But I find now going back in time and reliving a lot of these old moments in history and these people from, you know, from the past, it's like, it's people think wrestling is hot today, and you'll hear, oh, the ratings were, you know, a million people this week for whatever program, or all this nonsense, all these metrics that are just ridiculous when you look back in the history. And I'm talking recent history, you know, yeah. 80s, 70s. And there's, you know, promotions running 7 nights a week, selling out, you know, 10, 11, 14,000 arenas every night of the week in a different city every night of the week. So you think about how many people back then were watching wrestling and invested into it. It today is like, it's nothing. And I think the product to today furthers that, because as, you know, as wrestling has kind of progressed forward in time, it's gotten much more niche, and it's gotten to a point now where if there's a million people watching it, it's like, this is an industry that used to have, how many people were on a Monday night? 10 million people on a Monday night would watch.
That was,
you know what I mean? So
yeah, the good old years.
But I mean, in terms of today's, it's not for me. And I'm not trying to sit here and say like, oh, I don't want to be the old man yelling at clouds. I'm only 36. So there's that, but, it's not for me. There's so much just shit, and I can't invest, you know, two or God forbid 3 hours of my life to mm-hmm. sit down and watch one of these programs. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. You know what this reminds me of? And I want to get your take on it, because I remember when Raw first started, in the first couple of years of the actual Raw show, how goofy it was. This reminds me of that time, how Raw is now, is just all goofy. There's not that much wrestling, and it's just a mess. And the pre-Monday Night War days, when everything was just meh, we're big, we're doing whatever, kids, the PG nonsense, where AEW is trying to do what WCW did, create its own brand, grow, be big, be the big guy in the room. But I think instead of going the WCW way and establishing talent and growing and being competitive that way, they're going not the original Impact way, because you're an Impact guy. Original Impact way, where they build up their own talent, where we got the AJ Styles and all that, and Samoa Joe. But the later on Impact, where they brought in all the WWE guys and tried to make themselves very similar, and that's what eventually led to their failure. I think that's what AEW is very close to doing right now. So it makes it unwatchable. It's all the same nonsense. That's my opinion on it.
Well, and it's all well and good to have surprises and debuts and all that kind of stuff, but it runs out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what are you going to do in 6 months when there's nobody left to sign and Hulk there's Hogan. Nobody left to debut? but they banned him, remember?
Yeah. Okay. that, none of that ever works. Come on now. Money.
No, it doesn't.
You cheap pop.
I think we can both agree, like, the cartoon aspect doesn't work.
No.
But doing the surprise debut and the shock TV and whatever, it'll work for 6 months. It'll mm-hmm. work for maybe you get a year out of it. But what do you do after that? And then how do you retain these people who are now the problem that they're going to have is, and I'm sorry that we're going to get a little bit tangent here, but the problem that they're going to have, in my opinion, and I'm not a current wrestling expert, that is, I want to make that perfectly clear at this point in time, but they're conditioning their audience to always expect the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens to that audience when there is no more next thing? Are they going to stick around to wait and see what they have currently? Or are they going to want to go and find the next thing, whatever that might be?
Mm-hmm. And that's a very good point. And unfortunately, these companies don't actually hire good writers to build storylines that last. You don't have any more 6 month storyline building that lead to a pay-per-view. You don't have that anymore. It's a monthly buildup. So I think that's like piggybacking on what you just said, and you're completely right. There's none of that build up or expectation. When you had storylines way back when, lasting a couple months, build up to a giant pay-per-view, and then you go to the next giant storyline and you build up and you build up and you build up. And I don't think we have that. The next best thing is once a week, once a month, and that tries to keep the audience around. But personally, have you met any superstars? And if you have, what are some of your favorite moments?
Oh, I've met quite a few over the years. I'm trying to think what would be some personal favorites. I had a great time actually with Tommy Dreamer, who's now in a big pile of trouble. So maybe that's not a great example.
I haven't read that. I haven't figured out why he's in trouble yet. I haven't caught up on all of my watching that I need to catch up on controversy wise.
All right. Well, you're going to get there eventually, but I had a great time with meeting him in Winnipeg. He was at a CWE show and just a great dude. Got to hang out and talk with him for a while. Chase Owens, who is a big New Japan guy. I got to meet him and hang out with him a couple of years back. That was pretty interesting because he has a pretty neat perspective coming from the South and then being, you know, bigger in Japan than he is in America. So pretty neat. Kevin Nash, I talked to a little bit here at a Comic-Con previously. He's a guy who gets a pretty bad rap, in my opinion, but really intelligent guy, was really nice to me. So I can't say enough good things about him. Outside of that, I've never been a star chaser, if you will. Mm-hmm. The obvious exception to that would be, you know, people who I've talked to in regards to doing the podcast, right? So,
right.
But that's a different kind of fandom, if you will.
For sure, for sure. Now, why I wanted to ask, because majority of the fan base hasn't had the experience actually meeting these people one-on-one. And what you see on TV isn't real life. And that's a lot of people don't know. You just mentioned Kevin Nash. I've stood next to the guy, shook his hand. The guy's fucking massive.
Oh, he's huge.
I'm 6'3", 200-something-something. And he's massive. The dude towers over you. He's wider than anybody I've ever met. So that these people in real life, like even Stone Cold, he's one of the smaller guys on TV. On that, like, you know, middle of the road, but just still, that dude's still giant. Like, you know, yes. Like a lot of people don't understand the TV is not real life. And that's the fun part when you actually do get a chance to meet these people up front. So that's pretty cool. Now, kind of circling back to your show, is there one episode that stands out where you learn something that really caught your, like, sticks to your mind that you didn't know before, but it grew your knowledge and learned to appreciate one of the topics you've made?
Yeah, Billy Two Rivers, 100%.
Okay, why?
Because I was actually able to interview Mr. Two Rivers himself. And so, like, I grew up, I was going to school in, I started school, I should say, in 1990, right? I've already dated myself. I'm 36. I'm reading the math. But so I started school in 1990. A month later was the Oka crisis. I'm not sure if you remember that. So
no, not really.
So quick Coles Notes version. Yep. The Oka crisis was a land dispute between the Mohawk Nation and, oh, what is the city? It's escaping me right now, but a city just outside of Montreal who was trying to build a golf course on Mohawk territory land. There was barricades. There was the Canadian military had to be involved. Unfortunately, there were a couple of fatalities in terms of armed conflict and some other actions of the Quebec police force. But this was a whole deal in October of 1990. So I'm in kindergarten at this time, and this is on the news and everybody's talking about it, because here in Winnipeg, we have a very large, both First Nations population, Métis population, and third, very large French speaking population. So everybody's talking about this and everybody has a point of view, right? Mm-hmm. So now you fast forward, you know, I go through elementary, go through junior high, I go get into high school, and this is now part of the curriculum that I was studying in the Canadian history, grades 10, 11, 12, I think I took it. But so I'm studying this Oka crisis situation because I wrote papers on it as a kid. I couldn't tell you. I probably wrote 10 papers on this as a kid because I was always fascinated by what actually happened, right? The mm-hmm. real mitigating circumstances, what it meant for First Nations people, for specifically the Mohawk Nation. And I remember in my notes, you know, you have all these names, and one of the names in my notes was Billy Two Rivers. Never thought anything more of it. Fast forward now, I'm storyboarding my first year of grappling with Canada, and I wanted an Indigenous wrestler because I'm, you know, I believe that representation is important.
Yep.
Not just in, you know, my podcast, but in everyday life, and we should all strive to, you know, do a little bit better, to learn a little bit more about what makes up the fabric of Canada. And I come across this name, Billy Two Rivers. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is this the same one that I wrote a paper on in 2010? So I start researching it. And I'm like, holy shit. Not only was this man a elder with the Mohawks Nation, who out of Kahnawake, who was, you know, a big part of the Oka crisis and specifically the blockage of the Mercer Bridge leading out of Montreal, but he was also a superstar wrestler from the late 50s into the early 70s. And I had that, like, you know, holy shit moment. So I reached out to the president of APTN because he had did a special on Billy Two Rivers in 2017. So, and I said, like, you know, my name's Andy, I run Grappling with Canada. Here's a sample of my work. I'm looking to discuss Billy Two Rivers with you because I want to do an episode on him and et cetera, et cetera. And he goes, how about I do you one better? How about I put you in touch with Mr. Two Rivers?
Well, there you go.
And I was like, yeah, you can. I'll do that. So I ended up phoning him. He graciously agreed. And over the course of, you know, 3 hours, 2 hours of which essentially made the podcast, it was just learning about this man and his stories and his life. It was just, it was the only program that I've done so far where I sat out the entire time and I just listened, because it meant so much to me. And I probably listened to his interview specifically 20 times. And I probably re-listened to that episode, God, 5 or 10 times, because it's just, I'm still speechless about it.
Well, that's fantastic. Now that's something that I'm proud this medium actually gets to do, podcasts, where we access information in a different way that you just wouldn't get out of a regular newspaper or whatever type of interview. So that I'm pumped for that. I can't wait to listen to it. That's really cool.
Yeah, that one is the hands down. Like, that's, don't get me wrong, I've mm-hmm. thoroughly enjoyed each episode I've done, but the one that sticks with me and probably always will, if we're being totally honest, is that one.
Well, that's fantastic. And you know what, when you know it means so much and has so much so much positivity on your show, on your own episode, and you feel that way, it translates to your audience when they hear it, especially that they know, now they know that it's one of those episodes that they just need to check out. And that's cool. I can't wait to listen to it myself. But now that we're talking about more podcasting, I want to know, how is the podcasting world treating you? Because you said you're 9-10 episodes in with this show, so fairly new. Any struggles or positive issues that you've come across within the last since you started this show?
Well, there's been a few things. Positives. Well, honestly, the listenership has been tremendous. Like I, you know, you when you come up with a concept and a program, you really never know how well it's going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, okay, if I can get like a couple hundred people really engaged, then maybe in a couple of, like, to every episode I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
then maybe in a couple of years, this thing will build, and maybe by season two, it'll be 1,000 an episode. And then maybe by season three, it'll be 4,000 an episode. And maybe I can grow this organically, because, you know, I'm clearly not one of those, I'm going to pay somebody on Fiverr to go listen to the show. That's not the intention. The intention is to put something out that I think is quality and that I think people would get interested in. I've been blown away by the listenership. It's like, I'm where I thought I would be after year four. I was there like 2 months ago. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting part of that is I get a lot of emails and I get a lot of private messages because of the name of the program, because people still, they don't want to say that they're listening to a wrestling podcast, which mine technically is named as such, but it's not. So there, I still have a disconnect with the audience in terms of passing it on and kinds of, and things of that nature, because mm-hmm. you listen to a wrestling podcast? Well, no, I don't really. Here's what it's actually about. Like, there's still that kind of, there's that stigma I'm still trying to get over, and it's loosening up a little bit as we progress. But I just, it's an interesting dynamic, to say the least.
No, it's working, and you can see it working, and I'm pumped about it because it's such a cool show, super cool concept that you got going for you. And you're right. The listeners are just going up, and I think the more it catches on, people will eventually listen to the back catalog of episodes, and they'll get it. And you're on every platform, so you have everything going for you. Now, how's the merch issues? Because I only had a merch issue, and it was kind of funny when I saw it. I didn't ask about it because I wanted to save it for the episode, because we were talking earlier. But I wanted to ask about the merch issues, because I think it's kind of a funny concept. So what happened with TeePublic? I'm with them right now. Let's just be honest here.
Oh, I'm going to bury these motherfuckers. Fuck them for sure. So for a few months, I had an idea that I wanted to do a limited run of shirts. And the idea was to have the proceeds going towards charity. The mm-hmm. charity would be the Children's Hospital here in Winnipeg. Long story short, my second daughter was born with a few health problems. She was born premature,
mm-hmm.
and she spent the first 2 months of her life in the NICU. So I have a great appreciation for all the staff at the Children's Hospital. So I thought about, okay, if I can really build this program, and if I can do something cool, like make a charitable donation in terms of whatever, like, I would very much like to do that. So spawn this idea. I'm going to do a limited run of t-shirts, and all the proceeds are going to go to Children's Hospital here in Winnipeg. I was working with a company that fell through. It's not all on them. So I'm not going to sit here and shit talk them, but I will fucking bury TeePublic because fuck those guys. So I build this store on TeePublic.
Yep.
And it's up. It's live. I have a few people message me like, oh, shit, I saw your site up. I'm ordering right now. Okay, sweet. Like, this thing might actually, you know, if it's this already, what could it be in the future, right? So build the store. In theory, everything's working well. I wake up the next morning that they killed my store because I broke their rules of what the fuck did they say? I broke their rules of conduct. And I'm like, really? Pardon me. And they give no fucking explanation at all. They don't tell you what you did, which I didn't do anything. They don't tell you what the infraction was. They don't tell you who to contact. They don't give you shit. Not a fucking word. It was literally a point blank and fucking ridiculous email. So I emailed their legal team and I said, hey, motherfuckers, if you are going to sit here and try and tell me that I broke your rules of service, first off, wouldn't you fucking tell me what rule I broke? And yeah. Second off, if you're going to try and tell me that I've done anything wrong, then fuck you for that, because I've done everything proper.
Mm-hmm.
I own my artwork.
Yep.
I own the name. Mm-hmm. I own the program. I'm the sole proprietor. It's my shit. Mm-hmm. So I just fucking snapped. And this is 5 a.m. because I get up real early for work.
Yep.
So now I'm hot. I'm pissed. So I get into work and I'm like, I can't let this thing go. I'm fucking choked. So I start looking online for like, okay, what's something similar that I can get on, because I still want to do the charity thing, right?
Yep.
So now I'm like actually researching these sites because I don't want to run into the same issue that I had with these motherfuckers. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna actually do some due diligence, and shame on me for not doing it, I guess, in the first place. So I get on a Threadless. Everything looks good. I'm talking with them back and forth. Their customer service is tremendous, by the way. Really, really good.
Cool.
And I'm like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to jump in. So I put the shirt up there. I put a second design up and I got rid of the limit. So now it's just whatever gets bought, the proceeds are, that's where it's going. And it's nice. All laid out there. And like I said, the people at Threadless have been top notch. I've been emailing back and forth. I think it's Emily and somebody else who I've been going back and forth with there. But yeah, like great people, super nice. They've been very helpful with whatever. And just a complete 180. But yeah, fuck you, TeePublic.
Yeah, I'm with TeePublic right now.
Them anyways. I'm sorry. I hope
no,
you're
no, that's
great,
all good.
Fuck that company.
No, it's all good. And we were talking about it before because I mentioned, like, I might want to switch because you went to Threadless and they have hats. And I'm a hat guy. I wear hats all the time. And the only thing that TeePublic doesn't have is hats. So once I come on my third and fourth logo, getting my entire collection up, I might have to switch, which I'm going to poke your brains about it later on after the show. About what they offer and how it kind of gets done, if it's a smooth transition. We'll talk about that later. But no, that's a cool story, because things like that happen. And as insignificant as podcast it seems to some people, we like to build our brand, and shit like this is disappointing when there's companies out there that don't do their job what they're expected to do for us to do our job. So that's kind of a bullshit, and that's an interesting story. But we're kind of transition from that interesting story. Because I want to blow your mind right here. Okay, now before we finish off the show, I was listening to the radio, which I shouldn't, but I listened to the radio, and this one show had a top 10 wrestlers of all time. And I'm not going to go through the all 10. I want to focus on one really quick because I want your opinion on it. Because you and I seem to have the same mindset on when we pay attention to wrestling in detail. But in their top 10 list, and I want your honest opinion, they had this one guy. In the top 10 list, near the middle of it, was the Ultimate Warrior, the top wrestler, best wrestlers of all time. What is your opinion on that? Mind blown.
Okay. Top wrestlers of all time?
Yes.
Did they ever watch him fucking work?
I don't think so. This was a major publication, which I can't mention online. I don't want to get sued. I don't have
tell me who it is off there, but shitting me? Top 10 of all time?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, not, not, no. Maybe top 10 juice head gimmicks of all time. Sure, I'll give you that. Maybe he's top 10 there. But top 10 wrestler of all time, give me a fucking break.
I think they put him over Kurt Angle, which was one of the ones I was like, really?
Oh, what? What?
Yeah.
No, fuck yeah. off. No, you can. No, I don't.
I'll find it. I'll send you an article as soon as I find it.
Oh, okay. So now I'm already mad about the T Public thing. Now you're just going to make my blood pressure go.
I told you, mind blow.
Having a fucking coronary.
Look, for those that don't know why we're freaking out about this, is if you ever followed wrestling, you know this guy was like the worst worker in the business forever. Just because
To call him the worst worker is still an overstatement.
Right. I'm just trying to be nice to the guy. He's not with us anymore. But so just not gonna do that to him. But yeah, he was not very good at his job. So he was just, you know, a juice head that had something to put out there by Vince McMahon to sell more merchandise. That's all that was. Hey, there you go. Tied in the old merch thing. But all right.
A seamless transition. I want right?
I do what I can. Sometimes it works. Now, Andy, Grappling with Canada podcast. Grappling with Canada. What's coming up that we should know about in the future that you might want to tease? And where can everyone find your show?
Well, considering this show comes out, I think you said tomorrow.
Yep.
So I'll let everyone know that our October 1st episode is going to be featuring Archie the Stomper Goldie, who was legitimately one of the biggest heels or bad guys in professional wrestling history. And I know there's a lot of people who might think that he was just some random footnote, but there's a big or a couple of big pieces of wrestling history that if he's not a part of, it doesn't happen. And legitimately changes the entire landscape of what we would know as professional wrestling today. So, And not only that, some of the personal stories that we get into in that episode are like, you won't believe it. Like even me researching it, I couldn't believe it. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
That's fantastic. I can't wait to see that one come on. Now, where can everyone find your show?
So you can find Grappling with Canada on all major podcasting platforms, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts. We're up there now. Good Pods. Yeah, you know. Well, maybe I should have kayfabed that one. But anyway,
YouTube.
Oh, there's the listeners don't know how
everywhere. He's everywhere. That. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, Grappling with Canada.
Get him
on the charts. Go Apple, Spotify, get him everywhere.
Yeah, and anywhere it's possible, please, you know, leave a 5-star deal and a review. If you leave a review, I do read it on the show, so that's kind of cool as well.
That's awesome. And to say that, if you leave a 1-star review like you did for me, at least comment on it. Don't be an asshole. Just leave a 1-star review and not even a name. That's bullshit.
Oh, you'll love this one. So while we're talking about review, I got 2 1-star reviews. What? Both of them on the same episode, both on the earthquake episode.
Someone's angry.
Well, and then both the guys emailed me though after, instead of putting the feedback on like iTunes or wherever the fuck it was, they emailed me and they go, how come you didn't talk about his run with Hogan too much more? I'm like, it's not a fucking, I'm not reading goddamn his autobiography on Wikipedia and writing a fucking show.
Right.
Like, the show has very little to do with his wrestling. We're talking about the man, John Tenta.
Yep,
the fact that he was a professional wrestler has very little to do with the fact that, I don't know, he was a record-breaking sumo wrestler, which that was the fucking point of the episode. So,
At least you got feedback. At least you got some feedback. I got nothing for my 1-star, which I encourage people not to give us 1-stars. If you're going to be constructive, at least be constructive. But that's just bullshit.
Well, yeah, because then you're looking at this, you're like, what did I do wrong?
Right.
It's human nature to immediately, you're like, what did I do differently on this one that I haven't done before? And you start going down the rabbit hole and then you're doubting yourself. And then you're like, you know, it's just a bad situation.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Constructive criticism for your listeners, because it's one of those things that it's talked about, but very few people actually follow up on. Constructive criticism goes such a long way in terms of how podcasters like yourself and myself formulate our shows, how we kind of accentuate the things that listeners really find interesting or like to hear. It's the heartbeat of what we're doing here. And if we're just getting even just 5-star reviews for no reason, that's nice, but it doesn't add to anything.
It doesn't. You're right. I like this, you know, like someone saying, oh, your mic was too low. Your balance is off. I couldn't hear a quarter of the show. Perfect. Thank you. You know, now I need to listen somewhere else to get that same experience to know what you're talking about. That's constructive criticism. But, you know, yes, to put in a 5-star with no comments in it, well, that doesn't really tell me anything.
Yeah, no, it's nice, but like, why was it a 5-star show? Like,
right.
did you like the specific topic? Did you like the, like in terms of my show, did you like the archival audio? Did you mm-hmm. like the crazy stories of whoever's past? Like, what was it that made it a 5-star?
Exactly. There you go. We ranted about our supporters. That was fun. Now, Andy, this has been a tremendous show. I learned a lot listening to your show, especially bringing me back to some of the things I knew and wrestlers that I didn't know about. So I get to learn a lot from your show, and I hope my audience does too. I appreciate you. I thank you for coming on the show, and we got to do this again.
100%. And I like that you're probably the only person outside of myself who uses the word tremendous in multiple times on an episode. Yep. So I got to put you over for that one too.
See, so you've been listening. I like that.
Well, of course, because hey, and no, I'm not blowing smoke here either. I love your show. I love the fact that you go out of your way, and especially with the Canadian artists that you have on the show. Mm. It's not all my cup of tea, but goddamn if I don't have a good time listening to the artists that you have on and then hearing their music is fantastic.
I appreciate that. And again, Grappling with Canada is the podcast you guys got to get into and learn some history, even if you're not a wrestling fan. So check that out. Thanks again, Andy, and we'll do this again.
100%, anytime, my friend.